have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, and that we may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known you that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them.
Thank you, thank you. Good morning. This church cracks me up. It is. I tell you, if you are thinking about joining this church and you want regiment and order, and forget it, okay? It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen here. It's good to be here. It's good to see all of you. I had a church one time, and the educational superintendent, assistant superintendent, was a member of that church. And one day she came to me and she says, "Pastor Don?" I said, "Yes." She says, "You really upset me." I said, "I'm sorry. What's wrong?" She says, "Educational superintendent, I am to go visit all the churches in the conference." Lorraine Miller was her name. I don't know if any of you knew her or not. And years ago. And she says, "The problem is, every Sabbath you're doing something different, and I don't want to miss it. Something's taking place, something's changing, and I'm afraid I'm going to miss something." And I says, "Good. So if you see things changing, and if you see things moving around, and if you see things not following the order of service exactly, blame me. Just blame me. By the way, you see all this electronic stuff up here? Blame me. Because I made a complaint. I said, "You know, I cannot see that monitor back there." So they decided to help me out. And I'm thinking, if I ask for a few more things, pretty soon I can hide. And you won't have to look at me. Some of this won't be permanent. Some of us just temporary right now, just trying things out. They even put a brighter projector back there. The only problem is it's not level. So if you see me looking at you like this, it's because I'm looking at that projector back there and trying to read it. So, anyway, I want to thank Julie for leading out the music. Thank you, Julie. Very nice. Very well done. I think we got a wrong slide up. I noticed you quit singing, and finally they just gave us a blank slide, so those of us that were following the slides, we just didn't sing. Got the end of that one. I have a question. I don't see the Pathfinder person that got up here and made an announcement about taking care of the poor. Where is he? Raise your hand so I can see you. Is he not here? Alex? Alex? Where are you, Alex? Thank you. There were so few announcements that I, what was the date? April 8th for feeding the poor. Okay. And March 31st, we're going to take care of the homeless. You guys ever thought of getting together? Is Dave here? Dave, raise your hand. Are you here? Dave Hopper here? Where are you, Dave? I thought he was going to be here today. Is he hiding? Dave, is it Hopper? Hopper? It is Hopper. Okay. I was talking to him. This is quite a unique ministry. He was talking to me about how they go take out and they give out food, and they go visit the homeless. Sometimes they visit the people on the street. And he was sharing it with me, and I was hoping to interview him a little bit on this, but evidently he didn't stick around or something. Maybe I scared him. But he needs help. So if you're interested in helping Dave, it'd be nice. There's a few people that go with him, I guess, but he actually goes out and contacts people and gives them things they need, sometimes sack lunch. And I think that's great. I think that's great. Another question I have, and we'll get to our teaching sooner or later, is I'm not sure I'm saying this right. Ahain, A-Y-H-A-N, is here. You're here today. Brother, come up here. Come up here and teach me how to say your name. How you doing? Good to see you. What's your name? Give me again.
Ihan.
Ihan.
Yeah.
This is Ihan.
Ihan.
Ihan. Okay. Through the mail, I got this notice to contact him that he was looking for a church, looking to be baptized, and been studying with us, and he came to church one day, and then he disappeared, and so he and I corresponded back and forth on the email, and I apologized. I thought maybe you guys offended him, and he said, and he says, absolutely not. He says, this is one of the friendliest churches he's ever seen, and he's just excited about your warmth, and I said, praise God. I said, would you like to belong to a triad? He said, oh, I'd love to. He says, do any of them meet on Tuesdays or Thursdays? Any men groups triad meets on Tuesdays or Thursdays? Well, there's one. There's another one. Look at that. Look at that. Uh-huh. So you probably will get an invitation. Has anybody ever asked you to belong to a triad?
No.
Nobody?
No. People have talked to me about it, but haven't actually
asked.
Yeah.
You. I'm still training them. I'm still training them. We'll get there, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, I had a church one time that all the small group leaders met out in the foyer. And anytime a visitor walked through, they nailed him. So this church is not there yet, but we're working on it.
Okay.
We're glad you came to worship
I
with us.
Too.
God bless you. And now
I
you all know
too.
Who he is. And he's going to be part of a triad. Praise God. Praise God. I just want to ask the question, those of you who belong to triads, ladies and men, we're almost at the end of this series on the Holy Spirit. This is it. This is the last teaching on it for this series. How's it been? Not necessarily the teaching, but even the lessons, being in your triads. Who would like to share with me a little tidbit, not a sermon, just a little tidbit about what this has done for you in meeting together with groups weekly? Anybody want to share? Nobody wants to share? Okay, yes. Yeah, speak loud because I didn't grab the mic. Praise God. Thank you for sharing that. Wonderful. Anyone else? Time to give your testimony. No one else. Triads are not working. Dave.
I just want to say that I've been meeting with a triad, and it's really been great to share issues in our lives and ask God to be with us. And He's definitely coming through for me, and definitely helps to have
wonderful, wonderful. Praise God. Anybody else? Yes.
I meet with these precious sisters every Friday night.
Every Friday night.
I feel that we have grown together so wonderful and
Oh, right, great, great.
And they don't care that we're 30 years different.
Amen. That's wonderful. Is there another? Yes. Great, great. Praise God. Thank you. Yes.
Well, our triad is like an extension of our women's group on Wednesday night, because all of the ladies in our triad, we have four actually, so I've got a quad ad. Anyway, we have four that meet, and they all come to the Wednesday night women's group, so instead of just once a week getting blessed, we get it twice a week, and it has been a true blessing.
Wow. Praise God. Thank you. He's bringing a mic now that I'm about ready to close it. Someone else has a hand right there.
I do have one more thing to say. At the prompting of one of my triad group, there was an answer to prayer that one of the people we've been praying for that is on our list actually knocked on the door and came in and sat and partook with us of one of our meetings.
Wow. Praise God. That's wonderful. Well, this is what the triads, and if you're not in a triad, please contact one of the members who is, and or myself or Colleen, and we'll get you lined up. The purpose of the triads is to grow in Jesus. If you're interested in growing in Jesus, belong to a triad. Triad is two people or three people or four people. I have one triad group that's got six people in it. I'm saying, okay, it's all right. But this is the last time, at least for a while, that you'll see in your bulletin the study guide for your triads. And that's why I wanted to point that out. So the study guide will not be in here anymore, but instead we're moving into the equipping module. And so next Sabbath we should have binders ready for you, and you'll be able to pick them up, and hopefully we'll have somebody here to check off your name as you pick up the binder, and the binder has your study guides in them for the new triad for the next 6 weeks. So you want to make sure you pick up a binder next week. Okay? I wanted to share that with you. Well, let's take a look what we have for scriptures today. Thank you for that scripture reading. Prayer and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want to read again John 17, verses 20 and 21 at least. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That's us, friends. That all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I'm in you, may they also be in us, that the world may know and believe that you have sent me. It's interesting as we look at Jesus' prayer there in verses 1 through 26. There are basically three parts to it. He gradually moves towards the end of the whole world. First, he prayed for himself if he faces the cross. Next, he prays for his disciples and that God would keep them by his power. And then third, his prayer now sweeps down to the far distant future, and he prays for those in distant lands and far off places as they enter into this new belief of the Christian faith. Three areas he prays for. And yet, as you look at this prayer, there's, to me, two outstanding characteristics of the prayer. two great characteristics that Jesus filled in this prayer. First, we see his complete faith and his radiant certainty. At that moment, his followers are very few. Stop and think about it. He hasn't gone to the cross yet. He's heading there. He's almost there. How many followers has he got? Pentecost hasn't happened yet. His followers are quite few. Basically, 12 disciples mainly. Then he trains 70. But even with facing the cross, his confidence is unshaken. His confidence is unshaken. And he was praying for those who would come to believe in his name. This passage should be especially precious to us because Jesus is actually praying for us. He's praying for us. And second, we see his confidence in men, in his men. You know, stop and think about it. He knew that they did not fully understand everything he was saying and sharing. He knew that. He knew that in a very short time, these men were going to abandon him. And it's our greatest need. And yet, to those very same men, he looked with complete confidence to spread his name throughout the whole world. I mean, really? Those 12? Ragtag, sons of thunders, non-believer, they're going to spread this to the whole world, this precious message. Jesus never lost faith in God, and he never lost faith in men. Never. And yet he's looking at the cross. He's facing the cross. What was his prayer for the church? What was the church to be that was coming? It was that all its members would be one. All its members would be one. As he and the Father are one. What was that unity Jesus really praying for, that they be one? Have you ever thought about that? It was not a unity of administration. It was not a unity of organization. It was not, in any sense, an ecclesiastical unity. It was a unity of personal relationships. That's what he's praying for. We can easily see in Scripture that the union between Jesus and God was one of love and obedience. It was a unity of love for which Jesus prayed, a unity in which men loved each other because they loved him. A unity based entirely on the relationships between heart and heart. This is one of the reasons we have taken that first step in moving into triads. Because sociologists, psychologists, groupies, whatever you call them, have proved and demonstrated we cannot become one in a large group like this. Communities and unities and pulling together as one can only happen in smaller groups. We can only relate to one another closely and deeply as we relate to one another in smaller units. We as Seventh-day Adventists, will never organize our churches all in the same way. Our order of service will never be the same as you go from church to church. Our music is different even in different Seventh-day Adventist churches. Even worshiping God will never be exactly the same in each church, but Christian unity will transcend all these differences and join us all together in love. The cause of Christian unity at present and indeed throughout all history has been injured and hindered because we love our own way and we feel our way is right because of the blueprint and according to the interpretation of the red book and the scriptures. We have used terms like they are liberal, that church is very conservative and very legalistic. You know, if we really loved each other and really loved Christ, no organization, Christian organization, no Christian man or woman would be rejected or excluded who are Christ's disciples. No matter where they are in their Christian growth. And who knows? Maybe we're the ones that need to grow. Only love implanted in men's heart by God can tear down those barriers which have been erected between each other and between churches. In the short time I've been here, I just want to say, I've heard and I've seen a lot. You know, Sunrise, Central Point, Gateway, Grants Pass, Ashland, too liberal, too conservative, cowboy music, women preachers, and the like, all allowing sinners to come as they are. It is more natural for men to be divided than to be united. Jesus prayed for unity because he saw that only unity would convince the world of the truth of Christianity. Only unity. It is more human for men to be divided than to be united. It is more human for men to fly apart than to come together. Real unity is a supernatural act that can only take place when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the only way unity will ever come about. And that is why we need to ask daily for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Not only for 10 days or 10 weeks, but every day until Jesus Christ comes, we need to ask for the filling of the Holy Spirit. And you should have memorized this text by now. You've seen it enough times. Luke 11:13. Christ says, he came not to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them to the very letter. In Acts 11:13, it says, if we ask, he will give us the Holy Spirit. If we ask, he will give us the Holy Spirit. United. Becoming one. How does that really take place? I think about the young people that preached here a few weeks ago. About the 10 virgins, 5 foolish and 5 wise because of the oil. The lack of the Holy Spirit is because there is no relationship between the foolish and the wise. No relationship between them. Remember when they came to the banquet and they asked Matthew 25, they asked, "Open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you." I don't know you. Matthew 7, 21 to 23. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' And then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" I never knew you. Your knowing is a very intimate relationship. Very intimate relationship with someone. Let me show you Genesis 4, verse 1. Genesis 4, verse 1. "Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth." That's what the NIV version says. In the King James Version, however, it says, "Now Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore." You see, when the scripture talks about knowing, that is a very intimate relationship. I was taking a lunch break from the office, and I was walking over to the store to get something to eat for lunch, and walking down the sidewalk, and the General Conference president, Elder Don Snyder, and his wife, Marty, was walking in front of me a few feet, holding hands. And being the smart like I am sometimes, I asked the questions, "Do you two know each other?" He stopped and he turned around and he says to me, "Are you asking that in a biblical sense or what?" Of course, at that point, I turned red. Do we know each other? So the question is, do we know God? Is God, are God and me intimate? Are we close? Do we spend time with him every day? Is our relationship with God a continuing indwelling of the Holy Spirit daily? Do we even have time for a quick 5 or 10 minute prayer asking God to fill us with his Spirit? Do we take that time? Or do we have that time? Review and Herald, 1890. "The name Foolish Virgins represents the character of those who have not the genuine heart work wrought by the Spirit of God. The coming of Christ does not change the foolish virgins into wise ones. The state of the church represented by the foolish virgin is also spoken of as Laodicea." Now, that was a wake-up call to me. That was very intriguing. Because in Revelation chapter 3, you'll find the church of Laodicea is the seventh church. And in kind of a twisted way, we as Seventh-day Adventists say we're the Laodicean church. But you got to remember, the Laodicean church, Christ says, "I do not know you." So what's going on here? I did a study when I was in school to help me understand that. Because do you remember the church before Laodicea? It's Philadelphia. In Philadelphia, the brotherly love church, God has no condemnation for. And as you study it very carefully, you'll find out that the church Philadelphia does not end, but continues to the end. The church Philadelphia and the church Laodicea go side by side all the way until Jesus Christ comes. So the five wise virgins, we could say, are the church of Philadelphia. And the five foolish are the church of Laodicea. Listen to this one. The class represented by the foolish virgins are not hypocrites. They have a regard for the truth. They have advocated the truth. They are attracted to those who believe the truth. But they have not yielded themselves to the Holy Spirit. Wow. The class represented by the foolish virgins have been content with superficial work. They do not know God. Their service then degenerates into a form. Christ's Object Lessons, page 411. The only true test of those who are filled with the Spirit, as you know, is the fruit of the Spirit. The wise virgins know Jesus so intimately and love him so deeply that they would rather die than hurt or disappoint Jesus. Wow. There's another quote here. This one comes from a Christian writer, a book called Christ's Way to Spiritual Growth. Now catch what he says. This to me is amazing. Satan is more afraid of your praying than of your pure life and zealous witness. Because you see, praying develops that intimate relationship with God. We're talking. You meet in triads, you're developing a relationship because you're spending time together. You're praying together. You're sharing scriptures together. You're challenging each other together. And you do it for an hour a week. And yet you and I sometimes struggle trying to find 3 minutes to spend with God. And we're supposed to have this intimate relationship with him. How can we have an intimate relationship with God if we don't spend time with him? Individual, one-on-one. You and God becoming one. Intimately. Intimately. One's life may be a beautiful witness that cannot be silenced. But prayer is a militant force that has the potential of defeating Satan, destroying his works, and driving out the places and lives he claims as his own. Prayer. Our problem, my problem, is too much self-sufficiency. You know? We meet our own needs and the needs of the church. We rely on our own efforts to do God's will. We've been involved in too much planning and too many programs, and not enough depending on God. We need a prayer relationship. Only then will our plans be God's plans and our activities be God's activities. Everything Jesus did under the direction was under the direction of the Father. Everything he did. Every morning he spent time with his Father. Every morning he talked to his Father. And his Father talked to him. I had a devotion at the school the other evening, last Monday. Those who were there at the board meeting, forgive me for repeating. I have a question to ask you. I have a question to ask me. If God were to talk to you now, would you recognize his voice? You ever pick up the telephone? And you say hello, and the person on the other side says hello. All you had to do is say hello, and you knew who it was right away because you knew that person. I've had some people, some of you even call me on the phone, and it took me forever to figure out who you were because I don't know you yet. Do we know God's voice when he speaks to us? You know, we have a lot of voices in our mind speaking to us. Do we know God's voice when he speaks to us? Do we have that kind of relationship with him? Happened in a seminary, a conservative seminary, not Andrew University, not Loma Linda University, but a seminary that were being trained for ministers, not some Pentecostal faith healing, but a very conservative seminary. The professor was sitting in his office, and a young ministerial student walks in, not just any student, mind you, but one that was top in his class, was a scholar, a great leader, believed to have the potential of probably being a tremendously successful pastor. And he walks in the office of the professor, and he lays out the professor with his plans for a retreat for the seminary senior class. And all of a sudden, the professor, as they're talking, gets this thought in his mind, which is absolutely ridiculous thought. And he said, what? And he kind of ignores it and trying to listen to the students to discuss the pros and cons and things they got to do in planning this great retreat. And he doesn't understand. This thought comes back again. It comes back again. The professor kept trying to ignore it. And finally, the professor looks at the student and he says, could you tell me, are you struggling with anything in life that he says, I know it's a crazy question, but something keeps bothering me. Is everything going okay in your life? And the student looked at him, he says, yeah. Yeah, things are fine. Goes on, talks about the retreat. Professor takes his thought, and he takes it clear out of his hand and throws it away. Only for it to come back this time in color, like a flashing neon sign. Professor couldn't handle it anymore. He looks the student straight in the eyes. He says, I'm going to ask you a question. I don't understand why I need to ask you this question, but he says, something just is really grabbing me. I've got to ask you this question. And he says, if it doesn't apply to you, please forgive me for asking. Please don't get me in trouble because I'm going to be very vulnerable right now. And of course, the kid's sitting there. He's kind of, what's coming now? The professor looks at him. He says, are you involved in pornography? And the young man starts bawling. Yes, I have been almost my whole life, ever since I could read. I've tried to break the habit many times and could never break it. And he went on and discussed with the professor, and even in his dorm room at that time, between the mattress were magazines. And the professor looked at him, he said, look, this is between you and me and God. And with God's help, you're going to overcome it. And they did. Destroyed everything he had. The professor prayed with the student. The student graduated today. It's a very successful pastor. If God were to speak to you, would you recognize his voice? What kind of relationship do we have with God? A Philadelphia relationship or Laodicea relationship? I'm asking that same question. Acts chapter 6, verse 4 says, we will give ourselves continually in prayer and to the ministry of the word. David said, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. The third hour, the sixth hour, and the ninth hour. In our times, that's 9 a.m., 12 noon, and 3 p.m. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, one of my favorite verses, the early church focused on 4 agendas. Number 1, fellowship with one another. Number 2, breaking bread together. Now, that could be potlucks or it could be communion. Different commentaries argue back and forth. I think it was both, personally. Number 3, studying the Word of God. And number 4, prayer. What are our priorities? If we were to listen, what would be first on our list in life today? This is what was on their list. And they prayed, and he prayed that you and I will become one with the Father and one with each other. And my prayer is that will become a priority in our lives. Amen.
For a closing song, let us open our church hymnal to number 260, Hover O'er Me, Holy Spirit. Please stand.
Father God, this is our prayer. We need you in our lives. And we pray for that infilling of the Holy Spirit to begin now and continue daily in each of our lives. Help us each one to take the time with you daily, to become personally related with you, that you and we may be one in a relationship with you and in a relationship with each other, because, Father, we believe you are coming soon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.